Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
Talking about climate is especially popular these days. God gave the cultural mandate asking people to fill and care for creation. Yet what does that really mean?
In Genesis 1:28, it says, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over it. It's a really important command.
The Hebrew word used there is radah, basically meaning to subdue, to rule over, to have dominion over. Kyle Myard-Scott with Evangelical Environmental Network tells Family Life to look at the rest of Scripture for the concept of rulership.
I think if we look at Genesis 2, which tells the creation story in a slightly different way, we see God giving humans the command to serve and protect creation. And if we look at Philippians 2, we see Paul talking about Christ, creation's true king, exercising his authority not by grasping after power, but instead emptying himself and serving humanity even to the point of death. And so when I think about that idea of rulership, Genesis doesn't say humans are the ultimate rulers of creation. The Bible is very clear that God remains the one true king, the true ruler of creation, and we rule alongside God. So if we're going to do that, we have to rule like God rules, through service, through sacrifice, through seeking the good of that which is ruled, and seeking to bring about more life and more flourishing for all of creation.
NYU professor and former undersecretary for science under the Obama Department of Energy, Steve Koonin, takes us behind the headlines to understand where the generally accepted science on climate change is coming from.
Most people get their information about the climate at the end of a long game of telephone that starts with the scientific research reports and the basic data. It goes through assessment reports that are put out by the UN and the US government, the summaries of those reports, and then on to the media and the political discussion.
Koonin notes,
the US government agencies, NASA, NOAA, give information that sometimes is selectively filtered. And I wrote the book Unsettled because I thought there was a vacuum of ways in which people could get right back to the original reports.
Maybe you've been wondering where we find credible information compiled by people of integrity when it comes to climate.
I'm really disappointed that there aren't ways for most people to get at the underlying science. One can try to read the assessment reports. They're massive documents. The most recent one is 3,949 pages, written by a couple hundred scientists over 3 years.
Evangelical Environmental Network's Kyle Myard-Scott tells us,
someone I like to point to is Dr. Catherine Hayhoe. Dr. Hayhoe is a preeminent climate scientist, one of the best in her field, and she is an evangelical Christian. She talks beautifully about the data and the science and about how compelling it is, about how anywhere from 90% to 100% of climate scientists agree that climate change, global warming is happening, and it's primarily the result of human activities.
Author of Unsettled, Steve Koonin, offers up a couple of sources for credible information.
I think the Carbon Brief website is pretty good. There's a blog that Judy Curry runs called Climate Etc., which is also pretty good. But I think as people get more interested in it, they just need to dig deeply into the data themselves.
Over the summer, we saw lots of rainfall and flooding, along with many wildfires in the western U.S. Kyle Myard-Scott with Evangelical Environmental Network.
I think it certainly is consistent with what our study of creation has been telling us, which is that these types of events are going to keep happening and they're going to intensify as a result of human activities, primarily the burning of fossil fuels.
Professor Steve Koonin.
If you read the most recent UN report about the science, which was issued in August, there are a couple of extreme weather phenomena that have increased a bit, but there are many other extreme weather phenomena that show no trend at all over many decades or even a whole century. That would include hurricanes, mid-latitude storms, as we get in the U.S., that would include tornadoes, thunderstorms, extreme winds, many kinds of drought, no trend in floods. And so there's a little bit of change, and it might be attributable to humans, but there's an awful lot about the weather that's going on that's just within natural variability.
Leaders of the recent UN Climate Summit in Scotland set a goal to end deforestation by 2030 and reduce methane emissions. I asked Professor Steve Coonan if the measures are realistic.
I think deforestation is a good idea, and that is a political will issue more than anything else. I think the methane emissions is a more complicated story, as usual. Of the total methane that is emitted by human activities, only about one-third is associated with fossil fuels, namely the gas, the natural gas we dig out of the ground or that seeps out naturally. The rest come from agricultural activities. Cattle, out the front end of the animal, not the back. Landfill, rice paddies, these are all major sources of methane, and I don't see how that's going to be eliminated.
Yet many people still struggle with the concept of global warming and its impact on widespread climate change. Kyle Myard-Skop weighs in.
I don't believe in global warming or in climate change. I don't think that's a belief. The evidence and the science make it clear that it's real. And I believe that scientific pursuit is God-ordained, that science is a gift from God. God gave us big, smart brains, and he gave us tools to understand his creation more fully, to unlock mysteries about the world around us, and we don't have to be afraid of that.
Meanwhile, NYU professor Steve Coonan insists,
contrary to what you hear from the politicians and much of the media, there is no climate crisis. This is a problem. It may be serious. We need to treat it in a thoughtful way rather than with the kind of crash large-scale programs that the politicians are proposing right now.
While Kyle Myard-Skop says folks can scoff about some more outlandish climate proposals, including the potty training of cows.
There are so many middle-of-the-road, pro-jobs, pro-family, pro-health solutions that are perfectly consistent with Christian values that I think Christians can really get behind.
Regional remedies are something both climate guys agree on.
Local environmental issues are very important because they directly impact human health. And so cleaning up local air pollution, we've largely done that in the U.S. We could save several million lives a year just by getting off of burning wood and dung in undeveloped countries.
Steve Coonan says another practical step would be to take care of soluble problems, including litter, trash, and plastic. Kyle Myard-Skop tells us resources are available at creationcare.org. He also points to gardening as a step in the right direction.
It's a witness. People see your garden, they see solar panels on your roof, whatever else you're doing, and they say, why are you doing that? And you can share, it's because I'm a Christian, and I think God calls me to do this kind of thing, and it's part of me trying to get better at following Jesus and doing what he says, which is loving God and loving the people around me.
That's Evangelical Environmental Network's Kyle Myard-Skop and NYU professor Steve Coonan. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.